Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
Hello.
Welcome did you miss back. Us? Because we missed you.
We did. It's been a long time.
It's been a whole week.
I know. Too long. A whole week
we
too
had,
long.
We had our own All-Star break. We weren't at the All-Star break this year. But
this year, yet.
Honestly, with the way it went, I don't even know if I needed to be there.
You know, I probably could have added a little more entertainment. I probably could have.
Oh, did you also want to interrupt the basketball for an hour? Did you want to do a comedy bit as well with Kevin Hart?
Maybe not interrupt the basketball for it. You know, maybe I could have, maybe they could have done it any other time.
They asked the players if they knew that there was going to be a, like, 30-minute intermission. And they went, no.
No. There were so many of them that were like, I saw, like, so many of them get questions. They were like, what did you do during that? And they were like, sat there waiting for the game to start again. I'm like,
waiting to play for 5 more minutes because they only went to 40 points.
Yep.
It was so
weird.
It sucked. Okay. Like, let's be real here. It sucked. I think it's always going to suck. You know, they played hard for like 5 seconds ish. And I think it's just, you know what? I think it's kind of my personal opinion on All-Star Weekend is, why are we punishing the like best players in the league by making them work more while everyone else goes to like Cancun? I don't really get that.
It doesn't make any sense. There were so many guys that were like taking like vacations and incredible trips. And I'm like, that's my kind of All-Star break. I'm an All-Star. Yeah. Send me to the beach. Thank you.
Well, because like the Pro Bowl for NFL is done after the season. So I don't know why there's like this big All-Star break, but the only one who gets a break are the people that probably don't need the break. They probably need to work a little harder if you're not an All-Star. Just saying.
Yeah, the whole, you know what? One of my friends, Danielle, and she's probably listening to this, so hi, Danielle. But she watches us, but she was saying that we should talk about how, like, the NHL did, like, the whole Four Nations thing and kind of switched up their All-Star type thing, and everyone was so much more into that. Yeah, and I'm like, we could totally do something like that for basketball. Like, how many French guys, German, like, we could do so many.
Well, to me, like, hockey is just so much more aggressive.
It is.
So, like, it worked because they're like, screw you.
And they literally were punching each other 3 times in 9 seconds.
If it's not the Olympics, I don't think they care, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who's... Mm-hmm. I don't think they care enough. I don't think any of them care enough. So,
no. And, you know, like, I always like everything except for the actual All-Star game itself. Like, I love the 3-point contest. I enjoy that stuff. The skills contest or skills competition was kind of weird this year. The dunk contest, I loved that Mac McClung had competition this year with Stephon Castle. I would love to see them get more actual competition and, like, have people, you know, be good at it. So like Stephon Castle was fun because you got to watch him, you know, actually go up against Mac McClung and have someone give him a run for his money. But like, other than that, most of the stuff was just kind of
Well, as my mom said, you know, she said, after you watch what Aaron Gordon did in the dunk contest, and then you see these guys and you go, that's all you got? So shout out to Kim. Kim knows ball.
Kim gets it.
Okay. But Ja Morant went to Twitter to say, you know what? Maybe I should do it next year. Giannis said, maybe I'll see you there, buddy. And then
maybe me too.
Ja tagged AG and Zach LaVine, and they said maybe. They said they might be up for it. That would be unreal. I don't know how Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon's bodies are going to handle it because it's been a few years.
Both of them are going to have to do a few stretches.
They're going to have to ice those knees, get ready. But I think it would be sick if you had like literally any of the top guys in the league that we all love already. Everyone's going to watch it.
Yeah.
So that would save the dunk contest, in my opinion. I have said that the reason the dunk contest has sucked and you've had to have a G Leaguer come in is because the basketball gods are always watching. You robbed Aaron Gordon twice, and this is what you have to live with. You have to live with a guy who now, Mac McClung now has three trophies and is tied for the same amount of perfect scores as Aaron Gordon, and Aaron Gordon has zero trophies. Make that make sense. Explain yourselves. Now what? I would love it. The last thing I want to talk about, the All-Star game, though, how did you feel about LeBron pulling out literally like 2 hours before game time?
You know, I didn't love it. I thought it was kind of frustrating because, like, we all know LeBron is an All-Star. He's been an All-Star. Like, I don't know if that was literally just like his way of making sure that his name was still on the All-Star list for the 21st year in a row or whatever it was. And like, that's fine. But like, even Giannis, like, we knew a couple days and someone was able to take over for him. And
Giannis was still like, there. He was participating.
He
put on the jersey.
Kids were
hanging out
pictures.
On the bench.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, and that's just like,
he was hanging out. It was so cute. But
it was.
I just hate like taking that opportunity if there is an opportunity for someone else. Like, of course, it's not as sweet, you know, if you get the call saying, oh, now you're up because someone else gets it.
Yeah.
But I mean, Trae Young deserved to be in that All-Star game. So I'm so glad he got to play.
I was going to say, poor Trae Young is on his third pity call in a row. And I feel like it's like, he's deserved it all 3 years, especially this. I would say that this year, especially, he was like one of my All-Star snubs that I wish he would have gotten a spot in the first place. But I'm really glad he did end up getting to play.
Yeah. So didn't love that. It felt really selfish. Not a fan, especially when you say like when you say you're injured or something, or it's, you know, and then you go out the first game out of the All-Star break and like literally posterize somebody.
Not only that, but during his warmups, he was literally kicking a basketball around. And I'm like, I thought you had an ankle and foot injury. Why would you be?
Why are you
doing that?
Okay. So we didn't love. But anyway, now we're post All-Star break. Okay. I'm actually very sad about it because there's like 26 games left in the season. Like for most people, 26, 27. It's like you start the season, you're like, wow. 82 games. That's so long. And now after All-Star break, it's when shit starts to get real. Okay. This is when a lot of players start turning it up. A lot of teams start getting a lot more serious. And then, you know, I'm curious to see what happens because Cleveland and OKC are so high above. If they try and squeak some rest in, who knows? We're going to take a peek at the standings that were updated last night. If you didn't know already, the Denver Nuggets are the second seed.
I'm so excited. I'm so proud of them. I legit 3 months ago would have never the way that they started the season, I would have never guessed that they would be here right now.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that there was no way we were going to be below fourth. I felt like the second seed feels really good to me.
Fourth, fifth was kind of like where I probably had us sitting just based on how the rest of the Western Conference also started. But like now I'm just like, you know, as of like a couple months ago when we really a month and a half-ish ago when we really started like putting shit down, you know, doing the work. I feel like we finally kind of like started ramping up and I was like, oh, we can do this. Okay. Like Jamal is in. MPJ is in. Now we're starting to get guys back and healthy. Like, you know, Russell Westbrook had his first game back. Peyton Watson's the only guy out. Only guy out that we're really, really missing. Yeah. And I just like, I'm like, we're doing this shit. Like we're kind of in it now.
There's no one more validated than Caitlin and I. If you, again, didn't know, Caitlin and I have said since the beginning of time, aka the off season, that the Phoenix Suns were going to suck, and everyone came out here saying they were contenders. Kevin Garnett said they were contenders. Ha! Yeah. I scoff at you, Kevin Garnett. They are the 11th seed, and they might miss the playoffs the way things are looking.
Yeah, and I mean, like, not even just, like, miss the playoffs, but even miss, they might even miss the whole play-in. Like, they might not even have a chance. And that's, yeah, that's crazy to me.
I'm not going to lie, but right, not the order. I think the order is going to change a lot between, especially the play-in. But I would say from the play-in up, like, this looks like a good group to me.
I agree.
Like, I mean, I think especially like poor Wemby, he's out. I think you can kind of guarantee.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can kind of guarantee like at least 12 through 15 there. We can eliminate them. Like,
yeah, I agree. Done. And I hate that because like the Spurs, like I feel like even though they obviously weren't doing amazing this season, like Wemby was really, I mean, doing incredible. And I feel like their whole team was just kind of really getting into
it. Well, and they just got De'Aaron Fox.
Yep, they just got De'Aaron Fox, and they were, I feel like, on like this kind of upward trend. But prayers up for Wemby. If you don't know, he has a DVT, which is a blood clot in his right shoulder. That's my left.
It's super
in his right
serious.
Shoulder. Yes, and apparently I saw from some Spurs fans, they were saying that apparently he's been dealing with some respiratory problems over the last couple of weeks. So I think that the respiratory problems might have been like what led them to find the blood clot, because if you don't know, blood clots can go to your lungs and turn into a pulmonary embolism, and they can be deathly.
You can literally die.
Yep. So I'm just, I'm very glad that they found it. I'm so sad for him because obviously, unfortunately, it takes him out of contention for, you know, all NBA and for defensive awards and everything like that. So
no deep
I'm really
for
sad
Wemby.
For him. I know I'm sad for him. He was my DPOY pick. So I feel so bad for him, but I hope he heals up and comes back better than ever next year. But that sucks for the Spurs. I agree though. 12 through 15.
Yeah, they're out of here. And then I think the rest is going to flip-flop. But we're going to talk about contenders in a second. So let's talk about the Eastern Conference. Wah, wah, wah. Do-do-do-do. I don't know what
your transition music?
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. And I just, like, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference and it's... da-da-da-da-da. And it's crazy that like the number seven Magic have a very similar, almost the same record as like the number 11 Suns.
Like, are we shocked? This happens
crazy.
It happens every year. Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
They've just played two more games. Yeah. Sure.
That's hilarious. mm-hmm. Shout out to my Pistons, okay? My pity team that I have taken on.
Six.
I have actually, you know what? I've taken on a little bit. Finally, they got rid of Kuzma. And so I'm here for the Wizards simply because Bilal Coulibaly is a demon, man. And I love him. I love him so much. And he's just incredible.
Guys hear Spencer talking about all these teams she likes? God, I'm just like such a proud mom right now. Everyone, snippet this. Okay.
Yeah, but let's all remember Spencer always says I will only develop feelings for a team that I know has literally zero chance to ever. I say this as
correct.
If the Nuggets didn't lose to the Wizards this year, but in a playoff series, the Nuggets would eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Anyway, I think I get really excited about like young guys.
I do too.
On like teams that are building. So I've like the Wizards, like little young guys have been really cool to watch. And then
look 12.
Same with the Pistons. I'm so obsessed with the Thompson twins and I hate the Rockets. So I can at least root for one of them. He's just
I'm
on the
dead.
Pistons, you know?
Did you know? Okay, I didn't know this, but speaking of Asar Thompson, did you know that he had a blood clot like last year or 2 years ago too? Last year?
No.
Didn't. Yes, he had a He had a blood clot that ended his season last year, and he obviously came back and has been having a great season, but I had no idea either. So
yeah, because the Pistons literally won like two games, so no one was really caring.
What do you mean? They were so good. No, so seeing them at sixth has me hyped.
They're not even in the play-in.
I know.
They're only one win above the Magic, but the Magic have clearly played a lot more games because they've lost three more. So there are a couple games back. It'll be interesting. I don't know. This kind of looks like the same thing. Like I, you know, the 76ers are cooked. So sorry. Like, but I'm not, because I don't like the 76ers. 76ers are cooked. And then all those other teams are cooked as well. So I'm honestly thinking that we might be on kind of like the same page as the Western Conference, where I'm not, you know, I think, that the one seed obviously is locked, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the first three seeds are kind of solidified. You know, I could potentially see if the Knicks went on a huge run, but you know, they're 3.5 games behind Boston. So yeah. I would say the only things that are probably going to change are, again, the like 4 through 10.
Yeah, you know what? And I
in the playoff picture,
like,
wise.
Yeah, me looking at these right now, like in the play-in, if the play-in stays exactly how it is today, I would have probably the Magic and the Hawks coming out of the play-in. Yeah. I mean, the Heat could have like a one-off, I know, but they could have like a one-off crazy game. They're that kind of team, even without Jimmy, which is the nice part about the play-in for some teams, because it's just a one-off game. You have one chance, and if you go crazy on that one chance,
Some teams are really good at one-offs, okay? Like,
totally, exactly. But if I were to look at this play-in tournament right now, I would have the Magic and the Hawks going through. I'm sad for the Magic. Obviously, they had a fantastic start to the season. They've just been absolutely riddled with like literally horrible injuries with all of their best players, just one at a time throughout the season. So I'm happy to still see them in seventh. Obviously, it's good that they're in the Eastern Conference, because they've got, you know, some easy teams to go against a few more times. But I don't know. I think that they're still such a good team and they can still be so good. So I would really like to see them back in the playoffs, because I feel like they deserve another chance.
I think, as far as one-off teams go, if the Heat had Jimmy, I would totally pick them, because, you know.
Totally. That's exactly dangerous. Who Jimmy is.
Yeah. But I know. I think I'm going to go Magic and Hawks. But let's talk. I want to know. How many of, you know, the 30 teams, how many realistically out of those 30 would you say have a chance at like winning the trophy? Like, how many picks that are like contenders not to make the finals, but to win it all?
Four. In my opinion. I would say that there's two in the Eastern, two in the Western. I would say literally Cavs and Celtics. I think that, like, when I look at the Celtics, I know that they've had, or at least back in like January, they were having kind of a tough run. But for them to only be 5 wins behind the Cavs kind of puts them in a really decent position to essentially steal that kind of first place spot, depending on how the Cavs end the season. I mean, obviously the Cavs have been insane all season. Like,
I mean, I think the Cavs are so, like,
I don't think that they're going to be trash.
Well, I'm just saying, it's a lot to ask the Cavs to lose 5 games, you know?
Exactly. And the Celtics to go on like this big winning run.
Yeah. And they could, I mean, like, go on a winning run, but I think Cleveland's going to keep winning. I think, like, we've talked about this post All-Star break, that I totally think that the Celtics are, you know, going to come out way better. Everyone knows the Nuggets. I think we lost like 4 in a row right before the All-Star break. And that was like so tough. And apparently, like, Jokic, who has said before, he's like not the lead, like he's not going to be the guy that's like, come on, man, like, let's get it together.
He's not a vocal leader. He doesn't like to be the one standing up giving pep talks in Serbian. He'd rather just, like, you know,
But enjoy. Apparently last year he sent a text that everyone has talked about. And it's so funny because he doesn't even remember it. They asked him at All-Star break. They said, last year you sent a text to your team to motivate them for the second half of the season. Are you going to do that again this year? He said, I didn't do that. And he was like, did I do that? He said, I don't know. Maybe I did that. It was
I'm dead.
Funny.
He was like, I was a couple beers deep. I don't remember.
Yeah. He's like, not sure if I did. Wow. Can't believe I did that. So
literally.
I do think that, you know, a lot of teams have different mentalities coming out of the All-Star break. So I think Celtics are going to be one of them. You know, they had a great win last night already to like kind of set the tone.
I agree.
But that's what happened. Like Nuggets had a poor, you know, like, and I feel like a lot of teams, the like week and a half before All-Star break, you know, the guys that aren't All-Stars, they've like got their, you know, sunscreen, they've already got their sunscreen on.
They
you know,
have they're, checked they're, out.
Their pool noodles are in their Lamborghinis. So, or in the private jet. My bad. They're not driving. So,
lol.
I don't like tend to judge teams like right before the All-Star break. I mean, it's good to go in, like, in my opinion, with momentum, but I think Celtics are going to go on a run. I don't think that they can catch up to the Cavs. Just unless the Cavs start suddenly looking terrible and Celtics don't lose. The only way that do you have them ranked at all? Like, who's your number one choice out of both conferences for like title favorite?
I don't know right now. I keep thinking about it and I'm like, I feel like the Celtics are hungry and I feel like the Celtics like really want like that repeat. And like you said, like they've kind of set the tone coming out of All-Star break. You have everyone shitting on Jason Tatum again. And so I feel like he'll probably use that as fuel. Everyone, you know, I feel like with Jason Tatum, he's one of those players that people either say hung the sun, moon, and stars, or like is the worst basketball player they've ever seen and will never be a superstar.
People are so mean to Jason Tatum.
Yes.
So mean.
And like, you know, we joke that he's corny, okay? Like he is, and that's just him.
And that's okay.
But he's a great basketball player. And like, I think people are just like, I feel like he's one of those guys that literally it's one or the other. Like people either say that he's never going to be a superstar in this league and he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or he's like the best guy we'll ever see and he's going to have one of the best resumes in the world. And there's just like no in between. And I think that he's like a fantastic leader. He's someone that I feel like really loves and cherishes the game and his team and, you know, all that. But so I feel like they're hungry. And then like you go to the Cavs and you have this team that's kind of been like, I mean, I almost see like the Cavs this year, and I hate saying it because I just like, you just never know. I almost see the Cavs this year as the Suns were back in like 2021 when they went on like that huge run, had one of the best seasons that they've ever had, literally almost beat the Warriors 73-9 season. And then they went to like lose in the finals. Not that they're going to even go to the finals, that's what I'm saying. But like, I feel like they're one of those teams that like, besides last year, they haven't really been to like, you know, been in these really super competitive playoff situations a lot. Yeah. Their team is still pretty young overall, you know, like all of their guys, I feel like are like 27, 28 and younger. They're a really young team. Maybe Jared Allen's a little bit older.
He's older. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like he's like 30 or 31, but
I'm kind of like the same as you. I think, although, so I would say my Western Conference, the only people I can see being real contenders to me are OKC and Denver. And then
me too.
Eastern Conference, I have Celtics, Cavs, but then I also have the Knicks, but I have like, there's a lot, they're kind of like at the bottom, like not even an honorable mention because they've, the thing is last year, you know, Celtics seemed to have kind of like an easy-ish path in the West, in the Eastern, just like with injuries. Yeah. And that happens every year. I'm not shitting on their season. I hate when people discredit seasons, like even the Nuggets championship. Well, they beat an eighth seed. Okay, well, that eighth seed beat everyone else. So what does that mean? Like
same thing with like the Pacers last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's exactly what I think.
You know, you're going to deal with injuries every year. You can't tell everyone their championship doesn't count because so-and-so wasn't there. Okay. Period. Ideally, yep. everyone would be healthy. Literally unrealistic in sports. Okay.
Doesn't like, happen. Yep.
Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen in the NFL. Doesn't happen in the NHL. Doesn't happen anywhere. Okay. Doesn't happen in soccer. So I don't like that discredit, but like Celtics were just miles above talented wise. Everyone in the East last year, they were just dominant.
They literally walked through the playoffs. Like they killed everyone. they annihilated everyone.
I always joke like they clicked skip ads to the finals.
Truly. Period.
So I do think like they have much more resistance this year. You know, Cavs and Knicks, who would have been their biggest competition, like weren't, you know? And to me, the thing with the Celtics is I think if they don't have Porzingis, like if he doesn't stay healthy, I don't see them winning the finals. And
I could see that.
The thing that I worry about, and this is like a newer development, is how good the Knicks have been in clutch time. With Jalen Brunson has now made, you know, like in the past couple weeks, like two game winning shots, you know, and they weren't against great teams. So that's saying something as well. But, you know, when the situation like arose, he was there.
You still have to show up in big moments, no matter who it's against.
And I've said this for a while. I don't think the Celtics are the best team in the clutch. And I've like always felt that way. I don't think they always make the best decisions or the best in-game adjustments for clutch time. You know, I think there's just certain teams that are like, so like a well-oiled machine in the clutch. And I think Denver's one of them. That's just one of the best teams in the clutch. And that's why last year we were, I think, one of the only teams or the only team to beat the Celtics twice. And but both those games were so close and it felt like it came down to those, you know, all those like final, like minute decisions that you have to make. And so when you see someone like Jalen Brunson, who now is going to be confident when he has to take those game winning shots against the Celtics. So if they have to play each other, whether it's like in the Eastern Conference Finals or even in the second round or however things shake out, I think it could be like a potential issue, especially because they didn't, while the Knicks still like overly utilize their guys, which I think can be a problem, you know, they have Kat now and they didn't have Kat last year and Kat's been freaking incredible.
Having a career season. Yeah. We can't take that. We can't take that for granted because.
And they've been doing really well recently. So I almost feel, and then you have the Cavs who got, you know, they got someone before the trade deadline to kind of combat the Celtics. And then they got another wing in the buyout market. So now they've got two guys to come in and
they added a lot of depth. You want to know what's funny is you and I talked about earlier this season. We're so smart. We talked about earlier this season how amazing the Cavs are. But we were saying that, like, you know, they have eight fantastic guys, but what's, you know, what happens in the playoffs? What happens if one person gets injured, blah, blah, blah. And then they went and got two extra guys, added a little bit of wing depth, shooting depth, a little bit of defense. Like they, you know, they listened to
us. They got exactly what they needed to beat the Celtics almost. You know, if those guys show up, they did. Like player-wise and build-wise, that's on paper, that's exactly what they should have done. So shout out to your GM, you know, making moves that he sees how incredible the season has been. And so I don't want to count them out. They've been so incredible, you know, most of the season. But again, you know, when you do play a lot of teams that aren't, you play more games, obviously, against teams that aren't as good with, you know, kind of like the bottom of the Eastern Conference, you know, because you play every team in your conference four times, every team outside your conference twice. So that's like the only thing that kind of gets me curious about them. And like, are they going to show up, you know, in the playoffs? They've got so many guys, but you know, they can shoot the light when they're making their threes. They can, you know, shoot you out of the game too. So that's why.
And it's going to be hard for like a lot of teams. I feel like the Eastern Conference doesn't have a lot of two big teams, and they're one of those guys. They're one of those teams. We know this. We talk about it all the time. The more bigs you have in this league right now, or like the better bigs that you have in this league right now, you're getting cooked. People with smaller front courts or no front courts are getting cooked right now.
If you have two bigs, you can do a lot. It's been interesting watching them play too. Like, it's been, you know, a thing, like playing two centers next to each other.
Yeah.
And the Timberwolves, I felt like kind of like led the charge on that last year.
Totally.
Having
Kat and Gobert.
So, and I honestly think a lot of that has been their issue this year is like, it's all on
not
Anthony
having
Edwards.
That anymore. Yeah.
And they don't, I mean, Kat is just losing Kat and Julius Randle. I'm so sorry. Do not compare at all. So, you know, that had a lot to do with it. I don't know. It's going to be so interesting. And then also, you know, I like Jalen Brunson on his podcast. He is a foul baiter. And I always worry about the foul complainers, baiters, when you get to
the
deeper end of the playoffs. I don't know why they decide to start calling things different. They let you be so much more physical. And if you're sitting on the ground crying and not getting back on defense, another team that has already gotten, you know, is running back,
they've already scored while you're standing up from crying.
You're still running, yapping away. We talked about this in the off season. You know, that's what we hate about players. Like, it's okay if you think you got fouled, great, but like, get back on.
What are you doing?
Like, literally, what are you doing?
One thing that I really like, and I see a couple of teams do it. One of the teams that do it, it's usually teams that have a lot of vets.
Yeah.
So like I see the Warriors do it. I even will see like the Suns do it with, you know, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and stuff like that. But you see teams with a lot of vets, like when they like get missed calls or like a stupid foul call or whatever, they'll wait till like the next time out, or they'll wait until someone gets like fouled and goes to the line. And they'll literally like all go up and talk to the ref about like the last few plays. And they'll sit there and be like, look, like this is exactly what happened. I need to know like why you didn't call it. What can I do better? Not to
DJ,
get you to call it, but like, what do you need?
I love that DJ is like always the voice of reason on the Nuggets. Like he has nothing to do with the play. And he's always like, I'm confused, ref. Like, let's chat.
Can you tell me?
Did you not just see that? Like, let the guys on the bench, you know, whine. Because the fact is it's already happened, okay?
And the coaches are screaming at them anyway. Like, you don't need to yell to.
Cracks me up. Like, I understand. Yeah. I know Jokic does this a lot. He'll literally say, watch him, like he's grabbing here on this. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But, like, freaking out about a no call, like, is... They can't blow the whistle now. Like, you're already back.
Oh, so sorry. I know that those guys just made that basket down there, but hold on. Oh, he's right. I missed the call. Doesn't matter.
30 seconds ago,
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, and I understand, like, coaches that will blow up because, you know, if it's an egregious missed call, because usually then the ref will, you know, pay more close attention or kind of make up for it on the other end.
Yeah.
Because there are, I mean, on both, every team knows this. You know, there's some calls that you literally can't believe, like, are happening. And it doesn't matter, you know, what team you are. Like, you're like, there's no way you didn't call that. But the refs are people. We don't have robots. Sometimes it does feel like they could do a much better job. But alas,
we're
can't
humans.
Do anything about it.
Yeah.
We're humans.
We're humans.
Make
they're humans. Yeah. And I think, and I just want to throw this in while we're talking about the Eastern Conference real quick, and while you were throwing in the Knicks in there. I've been talking to Spencer like the last couple of days about this too. And I was telling her, I feel like I have to talk all the way at least to like the, you know, the conference semis. So like the top four type teams. And the reason I say that is because obviously we know that the Pacers kind of like blew everyone's mind last year and ended up in the Eastern Conference Finals. And again, sure, there were injuries and they went through like a, you know, a very injured Bucks team and blah, blah, blah. But like, they're really starting to kind of like really pull their crap together this year. They're the four seed and they do not feel like a four seed. Like, I am kind of baffled that they're sitting at the four right now, because I think they were the sixth or seventh seed last. I think they were seventh because it was Magic, Cavs, or Cavs, Magic, and then the Pacers at seven. And so the Pacers sitting at the four seed right now and peaking at this point in time is crazy. Like, I was watching their game yesterday and I pulled it up, and obviously we know that Tyrese Halliburton had a very rough start to the season. Spencer and I were his only saving grace.
Yeah, well,
we were his only saving grace.
Because we jinxed him. Every time we talked about how trash he was this year, he had a good game. So
Maybe right now
I don't trust him. Maybe he'll go off in the playoffs for 50. Who knows?
Totally. Yeah. No. And that's kind of like my whole point is like, so yesterday they played the Grizzlies and we all know Grizzlies are a fantastic team. They've been fantastic all season. And the Pacers were working the Grizzlies yesterday. Like Miles Turner and Tyrese Halliburton, like just went on some insane run by themselves. Like literally it was like a 13-0 run, like just by themselves, the two of them. They literally both hit like back-to-back threes and Miles Turner was dunking on people and blocking the, like, it's the whole thing is crazy because they don't feel like they should be fourth. And so I just want to put them out there because like I said, they're peaking at the right time. And I'm very curious to see if they're going to kind of continue this into the playoffs, like continue this kind of high level play into the playoffs. And if Tyrese Halliburton can stay consistent these last 20 plus games, you know, 25 games and then into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by it just because, like I said, they're already several seeds higher than they were last year. So they're not even playing the super hard teams if they stay in this four seed. They're playing, you know, the five seed if they stay here. So I'll be very interested to see how they do.
I know. I like the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be so interesting just because both with the Cavs and Celtics, for me, so much can go right and so much could go wrong, you know? And so if everything's going right for both teams, it'll be an insane battle, you know?
That's what I was just about to say is I hope that we get like those two in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But I'm like, can you count on, you know, I don't know. Like, man, the Cavs have been scary good and they have so many people. And even with, you know, Donovan Mitchell not having like his most efficient year, you know, he's got a lot of people around him that, you know, can help and lighten that load. And so I don't know. It's so hard. Like, it's so hard to talk about. And same with the Celtics. Like, the Celtics have been there. I always put experience high because it is so important.
Me too.
And it's important not to peak too early. And that's almost how I felt like with the Rockets. We'll talk about the Western Conference in a second. But I feel like with a lot of young teams like OKC and the Rockets, I'm just talking about like young teams in general that like peak too early. It's almost because like they haven't been in the league as long. They don't have as much playoff experience. And so they aren't as adept at like preserving their energy almost in a way. Like they're going so
peaking
hard
at the right time and going hard at the end.
They're going so hard every single night, which you want to win games. Of course, I'm not saying like other teams are just are playing lackadaisically and stuff like that. I just mean like, I feel like you have to have almost like a rhythm that you're in where, you know, you start to ramp up and go almost to a different level after All-Star break, like when those games truly, truly count. And so sometimes I worry about the teams that I'm like, have you given it your all every single game for 82 games? You're going to be tired. Like, you're going to be tired in the playoffs, you know, like because you
overexerted yourself. Yeah.
Yes. So that's like my only reservations ever. So I want to talk about the Western Conference. Obviously, OKC is in first by a mile. There's, again, I guess we can talk about who. I know Grizzlies are only in third by half a game. I don't see them as contenders. I honestly, and this is really mean, but I don't even see them in the Western Conference Finals.
No, and I'm like, I don't think that that's mean because I'm kind of there with you. Like, I was thinking the same thing. And first of all, before we start talking about the Western Conference Finals, I just want to say, you all know that me and Spencer are Nuggets fans. So I want you guys to know that we recognize our bias.
What?
Denver Nuggets?
Huh?
Yes. I want you to know that we do recognize our bias. Like, if I was told to pick a team to win the finals right now, like when she asked me earlier, I was gonna say the Nuggets, but I also know that that is directly my bias. That's me being like, Nuggets gonna plow through everybody. Like, I know that.
This is me never counting out the Nuggets.
Exactly. So I'm just like, I want you guys to know that we understand that.
We try and give our unfiltered opinions.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not like a huge bias. Like, we're not saying, yes, oh my goodness, the Nuggets are going to sweep the entire playoffs and win another championship. Yes. Okay. Like, yes. We're going to realistically talk about kind of the things that can go wrong for Denver and OKC and like the things that can go right.
Yes. But so I just wanted to throw that in there.
We're aware.
But I'm so with you though on the Grizzlies. Like, I feel like I was really high on them at the beginning of the season. Same. But I almost feel like they're kind of falling flat. Yes, absolutely.
They have a lot of talent.
Like, yes. I mean, you have Desmond Bane, you have Jaren Jackson Jr., who now is the favorite for DPOY now that Wemby's out. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is like one of my favorite front court players in the league.
And
he's so big, so athletic, so fun to watch. He was like the glue, just like holding the team together with Desmond Bane last year when Ja was out and all this stuff. Like, they're such good vibes guys, and they're such good leaders. I love Ja Morant. I feel like they're falling flat.
He's not having his best year, obviously. Mm-mm. And, you know, there have been rumors that I, you know, heard from, like, you know, doing my media sleuthing during the All-Star weekend, kind of talking about hearing other people talk about, you know, who they thought were contenders. And a lot of the insiders have said basically, like, if they don't do much in the playoffs, Ja could potentially be on the market this summer.
Block. And that makes me sad. Like, when I think of the Grizzlies, I think of Ja Morant. I feel like he's been such a cool, almost like Luka for the Mavs. Like, he's been such a perfect, like, face for, like, well, I shouldn't say perfect because obviously he's had lots of, he's had some struggles over the last couple of years. He's had some, what are they called?
Discrepancies?
Not even, like, so close though. He's had, what are those things when, like, you do something bad and, like, the media is, like, making fun of you? He's had, God, I hate words. Why am I not smart? Controversies. He's had some controversy lately, everyone. Okay. I love being smart.
And I'm the blonde one.
I literally feel like I'm the chick from House Bunny. But
go on.
Yes. So he's had some controversy. So I wouldn't say, like, you know, a nice perfect face of the franchise, but
maybe,
like, he's well loved by the city.
Maybe don't go on Instagram Live, like, flashing a gun around. Like, are we 12?
I'm not going to lie. He did pay our Colorado strippers really well. So, you know what? Shout out to him. I'm sure they feel awesome.
I forgot about that thing too.
Yeah. That was one of the other ones. That was one of the first times he was flashing a gun. He was flashing a gun
at the strip club in Denver. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot it was. Who's going?
Yeah. And, like, the picture had, like, literally, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash surrounded in the room. And then he's like, got a gun. I'm like, what? I know. So, like I said, Demetrius, maybe not a perfect face.
Demetrius Jamel Morant. Full government. Full government. Wrap it up.
What? You just used his whole name?
Yeah. Demetrius Jamel Ja Morant. We know you're
Ja,
in Memphis.
Quote unquote.
But goodness gracious, my guy.
Yeah,
okay.
None of that. Okay. But either way, they just kind of are falling flat to me. I just,
I don't know what it is.
I know. I feel like
they have a lot of guys and a lot of young guys, but they have a lot of talented people, but I just don't know if they can all be consistent enough for a playoff run. I don't know what it is.
I just don't feel like the fire from them anymore. Like, I don't feel that fire that like Memphis Grizzlies almost always give.
You know, Houston, and then Houston's the four seed. I don't trust them. They're young. I don't trust who's the guy I hate, Jalen Green. Can't stand him.
Yeah.
Don't trust him. Don't trust him. Okay. Fred VanVleet is still out. Is he not? Right?
Fred VanVleet is still out. It's been a couple of weeks. It's been since the beginning of February.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is. They're defensively so great. You know, they're great at disrupting offenses. And so I will always trust them. I think in a one-off, like I think they're really good in one-offs. I don't trust them in a series.
Amazing in like a play-in.
In the play-in. Yeah. I mean, they get into the, but I don't see, you know, like when I look at these teams, you know, none of them are threats to me unless the only one who would be a threat in the playoffs to me out of, you know, all the teams that we have out of OKC and Denver, like that I would be kind of scared about would be the Mavs if they have everyone. Like if you have Anthony Davis, if you have Derek Lively, because I mean, we got a small glimpse of that. They're the only people that I would kind of be, you know, think would honestly be close to contention, but I could see them getting to a Western Conference Finals is the Mavs healthy. But other than that, I just have the Nuggets and OKC.
Can I make a totally biased prediction?
Sure. Let's hear it.
I recognize my bias. Okay. But the only reason that I say this, because we're talking about young teams going to the playoffs. And I think that the important thing about young teams with not a lot of experience going to the playoffs, the important thing to recognize about that is that experience is so important in the playoffs because you need to be able to play game one and be like, okay, we lost this game or we won this game. What worked well? What are we going to continue to do? How are we going to adjust every game against the same exact team in order to win the series? And like if you all remember correctly, the 2022-2023 season in the finals, it was the Warriors versus the Celtics. The Warriors had a 3% chance of winning that finals.
That was the year before.
Thank you. Yes, 21-22. Thank you so much.
I was like, oh, she's about to talk about the Nuggets.
Oh, no, you're right. They just were great. They were fantastic against the Heat. Okay. Yeah, but so the Warriors, thank you, 21-22, they went up against the Celtics in the finals, and the Celtics were like favorites to win from the very beginning, like before the playoffs even started. Everyone was like, the Celtics have this. And so when the Warriors got to the playoffs with the Celtics, literally the Warriors had a 3% chance of winning. And then they lost game one, won game two. Even after they won game two, their chance of winning was still like down in the dirt. And then they lost game three. So they were down 2-1 in the series to the Celtics, and everyone had counted them out. And I remember they were saying that after game three, apparently they all sat in the locker room after their game three loss and said, we know how to beat this team now. Like watching this game and seeing where we went wrong, we know exactly how to beat this team. And they won three in a row to win the championship. And so, like having that great ball IQ and incredible experience and like the ability to know how to play a team in a series and understand a team and understand what adjustments need to be made. Like those are all things that you have to take into account. And now the Warriors have Jimmy Buckets, who is playoff Jimmy, dubbed as playoff Jimmy. And they've won. They're 3-1 in their last four with Jimmy, which is fine. They're, like I said, their one game that they lost was a little, could have been the refs. I don't know. It's fine. Anyway, but I feel like they could go on a run and get out of the play-in even.
And maybe I think they could get out of the play-in. 100%.
Me too. But I just like, you know, I'm like, I hadn't had that belief in them.
They're not getting to the Western Conference Finals, my dear.
No, I'm saying that they could go on a run though, because like they're a team that I don't trust in the play-in. They're a team I don't trust in a one-off.
Yeah.
In a series, I would take them 50% of the time, 75% of the time, depending on who they're playing. But they're just like, I don't trust them in the play-in. And so having them in the play-in right now stresses me out because they could literally just like shit the bed and give up 20 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but now that they have like, Jimmy, I trust them more in the play-in, like, or being in the play-in and like having a chance to get out than I would without him. I want to talk about OKC and Denver, and I want to talk about like, you know, what are kind of the things that can go right for them and the things that can go wrong for them. We're going to start with OKC. Honestly, you fans are the worst. No offense, but offense, because you guys are literally so evil. Chill out is all I have to say. I've
never met meaner fans in my life. Like, I literally...
You and Lakers fans are like on the same... Do you know... Do you really want to be associated with Lakers fans? Jesus.
I wouldn't want to. Because, like, those are definitely two of the meanest fan bases. And, like, guys...
It's wild. You guys have got chill.
Yes. And like one of my biggest pet peeves, just like especially this season, is like OKC fans not being able to just admit that they have a bias, and that is okay. Shea is incredible, but like you have to understand that like you wanting Shea to win MVP, like certain things that are being said, or like you're the only people that are mad about it because you have a bias, and that's
and you guys-
okay.
And you guys can't even like have fun. I was joking with what did I say? Like it was after like a couple wins in a row where I was like, Nuggets are so back, like onto a mutual, like we have Nuggets Twitter, and I was on a mutual like friends thing, and I'm like, we're so back, you know, like Nuggets in four, like we've got the finals on lock, and like OKC fans were like, LOL, this is hilarious after beating like so-and-so. And I was like, I'm not talking to you. Like, and I'm joking with like,
and we're being like, silly. Jesus.
We're being silly with all of our Nuggets friends. Like we always do that because this is our safe space. So like, get out.
Yes.
Anyway,
it's literally like when the Wizards won two games in a row a few weeks ago. And I literally was like, finals better watch out, we are on our way, and someone literally was like, congratulations, you beat XYZ. I was like, it's the Wizards. I know, like, we suck, like why are you angry?
But leave us alone.
Yes, but so, and I made a post the other day, and I was just talking about it because people are talking about Shea being a generational scorer. And the thing that I look at, and if you watch our podcast, I say this about a lot of people. I've said it about Kevin Durant. I've said it about Giannis. I've said it about literally anyone that has a really high free throw count in a game when they have a really high scoring game. And the reason that I say that, and I joke around and I call them ethical points, and really it's just me talking about field goals made in a game, okay? I think that field goals made in a game tells me a lot more about someone knowing how to score than free throws do. And I get that, like, and ones happen, totally fine. I get that, you know, goodness gracious. What are those things called?
Tex? What do you do?
No, the thing, God. I hate words.
Yeah, you're not good with words.
It's my least favorite thing. Those things where like they're running and you smack them and you're not making a play on the ball, and they're running they're on a fast break, and someone hits their arm.
You're talking about like a take foul, transition foul.
Take foul. Thank you. I love so much. This is my best day ever. Words are so hard, guys. Okay.
Wow.
I'm exhausted, guys. I haven't slept all week. There's the flu going around my house. Okay. I've gotten like 3 hours of sleep, and I'm losing it. It's Friday. I'm ready to sleep. But yeah, so like, you know, people were like, so I guess like and ones and take fouls and, you know, and like, you know, fouls or a free throw shot on like technical fouls, et cetera, aren't real points. And I was like, I'm not saying that they're not real points, but like when you're telling me someone is a generational scorer, I am looking at how they score in a game, in gameplay. I'm not looking at how they score from the line, because Joel Embiid just made like 12 free throws from the line yesterday, 13 free throws from the line yesterday. But he only scored a few points in the game. That doesn't tell me he's a generational scorer. He only made a few buckets in the game. I want to see how someone can, you know, make a basket on, you know, getting double teamed. I want to see how someone can drive to the basket and score. And Shea is amazing at those. But all I'm saying is that, like essentially what I was saying in the moment was that Shay had had a rough week with scoring. I wasn't saying that it was a bad week. I was saying that it was a rough week with scoring. He had a very low efficiency that week, and Jokic had literally, his team had gone on a 4-0 run, and he had had all but one triple-double and like all this stuff. And Jokic was still number two on the weekly MVP ladder. No, all that I was saying.
That was after we were like 7-0.
Oh, that was, I know. So I was just recently, saying that, like,
that was like last week.
No, it was. So I, what I was saying though, is that like on the weekly MVP ladder. So within that week, Jokic had won four games with his, obviously the Nuggets had won four games and Jokic had had an incredible week. And although OKC did amazing, Shea had had a really rough week for himself in regard to like efficiency and scoring. He had had some of his lower scoring games with like 10, 11, 12 free throws, et cetera. And so all I was saying was that like, I find it hilarious that on a weekly MVP ladder that they wouldn't flip the two for a week and give Jokic one spot and then SGA number two.
I mean, it is ridiculous, but all the voters went that are on media last week literally said it's because Shay doesn't have one. So I've just disregarded that.
I know. But like,
they've literally admitted that's why.
That they're going for, yep, I know. It's so frustrating. But so that's all I'm saying.
Which if I'm Shay and I hear that, like, no, I want an MVP because I deserve it, not because you're like, oh, well, that guy already has three. So let's just give it to the next guy.
Totally.
Anyway, moving on to the, like, the contending side of things. I think there are a lot of things that OKC has. You know, we have only a small sample size of Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren playing together. We talked about the two bigs. Their defense is suffocating. Their defense is the best in the league by a mile. By far. We talked about this last week. The differential between their defensive rating between them and second place is the same between second and 11th. Okay. I don't think you guys understand. Like, that is the best. Like,
they are miles above everyone.
Generational defense. Like, we get annoyed with you fans because, like, we will say nice things. Okay. Like, OKC is not one to mess with. And, like, if I'm comparing them to Denver and, like, how they would play together, I get worried because Denver has a turnover issue sometimes, especially with teams that force a lot of turnovers. You know, OKC has some of the best people on defense. You know, Lu Dort, Alex Caruso, like, they again, will suffocate you, you know? And they have Shay, who is an incredible scorer, okay? And I don't know why sometimes he does, like, do some baity things because, again, he's so fast. He can beat you off the dribble with his eyes closed. He is, like,
with
I'm not...
one hand and one, like, and a half legs.
Kayla and I were talking about last week how quickly he drives to the basket, okay? He is an incredible scorer. When I think about... And, again, like, this is almost, like, theirs to lose, you know, because... especially if they get past everyone in the West, I don't think they'll have an issue. I think the finals is theirs. They are 4-1 against the Eastern Conference top teams, like top four or something. They've only lost one game, you know. They've already proven that they can beat the top of the East, okay? You know, they've only lost 10 games, and one of those two was to an Eastern Conference. So right now, the West really is theirs to lose. You know, they've done incredible. Oh, well, technically twice if you count the Bucks is the second Eastern Conference team they've lost to.
Very true.
But they've, you know, like, the Nuggets have one on them, and they have one on us. You know, I think that, like, we played them the very first game of the season, and then I think we played them, like, literally the next week or 2 weeks later, and we won. So right now it's a tie. So I'm interested, you know, I'm nervous and I'm interested to see how they play. When I think about the things that can go wrong for OKC, because pretty much, like, again, theirs to lose right now, you know, with how they're looking.
Yeah.
They have so much offensive pressure on Shay. And I think anytime during the playoffs, if he is struggling with scoring and I don't know who can be, like, their consistent number two, because J-Dub sometimes is having, you know, 20-point games, and so is Wiggins. You know, Wiggins right before the break was kind of popping off, and if he can be, you know, an average 20 a game, then I'm worried, you know, for everybody.
yeah, for sure.
But so much of it is on Shay, and I think it's almost like a two side, like double edged sword. Like it's almost like he's so good, but like sometimes I think he does like, I don't know, like not create enough for everyone else. Like, you know,
yeah.
Which when Jokic will take over a game, if he's if it's over, like that's kind of like when when you'll see Jokic take 30 shots, you know, but yep. I feel like SGA is always taking that, you know, like I don't think there's any games where he's facilitating. And again, it's like, I think because they have such a strong defensive minded team that they can just kind of keep everyone away from him and, you know, he can go to work. But that's like, that's one of my things against them in the playoffs. And then another is experience. Again, like you talk about anyone can beat a team one time. When you talk about game planning in a series, there's a lot of variables that you can't always game plan against. And I think the Denver Nuggets are one of the scariest teams in the playoffs simply because Jamal Murray is such a different person almost in the playoffs. He's like a Jimmy Butler to where, you know, some guys
playoff
like,
Jamal.
Yeah. Playoff Murray. Mm-hmm. You can have a game plan, but they're such a different beast that you almost can't stop them in the playoffs. You know, we saw Jamal getting his double nickel in the 55 piece. And then last night I thought he was going to go for it again. Like when he is shooting like that, you can't stop him. And then with Nikola Jokic, like those two are the scariest duo. If they're both going
Jokic
off,
will end up with like 12 assists just to Jamal.
You can't guard them. So I think like where the things that I would worry about if I were like an OKC fan and wondering like where they're going to get in the playoff, you know, grand scheme of things, I think like their youth, you know, and not being able to know consistently how everyone else is going to be the playoffs. You know, I'm sure Shay's going to be Shay. And then I, you know, every team talks about how you have heartbreak before you get that championship. You know, the Nuggets, you know, you get close and then you fail, and then you get closer and then you fail, and then you might get to the finals and fail. You know, Nuggets had like two or three heartbreaks in the playoffs before we got to the finals into our championship, and we won it there. And that same with the Celtics had been in the finals and they had to deal with that heartbreak. So I'm like super curious with, because, you know, OKC, you know, were almost one of the favorites, you know, to make it to Western Conference Finals last year. And then, you know, they ended up going out in the second round, the Mavs, you know, Luka, they couldn't guard Luka. So I'm very curious just to see how they like, what happens if they're going to, if they've already experienced that heartbreak last year, if that was their like one heartbreak and they can overcome it, or if they've got like one more in them.
Yeah. And I think that like the biggest thing for them, and I'm so with you, because the thing is like you said, OKC has the Western Conference in the palm of their hands. Like it is theirs to lose. They have absolutely dominated. The fact that they only have 10 losses at this point is incredible. I think that the thing that they're going to have to worry about, like you said, is who's going to be that consistent second scorer. I mean, J-Dub is obviously...
who's your second guy? Like, you have to have a second guy. Like, have to.
Yes, and I say that especially because I was just thinking about it. Like, the second you get into the playoffs, every single team is going to adjust just for Shea. Every single team is going to be doubling this guy, sometimes even tripling this guy. And they're going to make other guys shoot. If you look at the guys on their team, you have J-Dub, who scores about 21 a game currently throughout the season. And then you have a bunch of guys that score 10 or less after that. And so, you know, if all you have is J-Dub when SGA is getting doubled or tripled, you know, who do you go to next? Who's that next guy that's going to pop up? Obviously, you have... Is Chet? Where's Chet? Am I on drugs? Where's Chet on here? Oh, there we go. Okay, Chet's currently averaging 14.7 points since he's been back from injury, so that's good too. They'll probably throw it to him. Yeah. But either way, I just feel like defensively they're going to work any team. literally any team. And also, one of the things that they have going for them on offense is that they are the number one team in the league in regard to turnovers. They are the essentially cleanest team in the league. They have the least turnovers per game, and which like must be nice. All well, my teams you,
well,
have
I
the
always,
most.
I always take that with a grain of salt because like Nuggets are first in assists by like a lot, you know, they've yeah. like almost broken.
Your
I think
turnovers
the,
are going
like,
to be higher.
So your turnovers are going to be higher because you're passing the mm-hmm. ball. And even though you guys never agree with us, Shay does not pass the ball a lot. So you're going to have less mistakes if you're not passing to anybody.
Correct. And that's, you know, and that is a very big point to be made. Like you said, a lot of people, oh, I just like ripped my hair out. A lot of people don't agree with us about that, but it's unfortunately, as a point guard, 6.1 assists, that's fine. That's great. But there yeah. are games where he does have like 2, 3, 4 assists, and that's yeah. not necessarily
ideal.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? Those are usually the games where he's
to
going off and he knows
guy,
that he can
like,
score on everyone. So
yeah, to I have get a second it, guy, but, like you've got to get other people involved and you've got to get other people going. And, yeah. you know, especially if you don't have it, like you should be facilitating the heck out of that ball. Like Jamal Murray is a score, you know, first point guard. You know, we have one of those. But the nights that he doesn't have it going, his assists are up. You know, like you've got to kind of give and take with the flow of the game and how things are playing. And so I worry because like to me, if Shea has one bad game, they're losing.
Yes. Well, and I was actually, it's funny that you say that because I was actually just about to say that I wanted to shout out Shay because I was actually talking crap about this the other day about him not passing the ball a lot when he's having bad games. And he had 2 games before the All-Star break where he had 9 assists because his shooting was abysmal. Yeah. He was shooting 28% for one of the games. He was shooting 50% for the other game, but still had 9 assists. And so credit where credit is due. I appreciated that because I feel like earlier this season, he hasn't really been that guy who's willing to pass the ball and create a lot. So,
and like,
that
we
would
know
be scary
it's because
if he
you
starts
don't,
doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he truly trusts a ton of the other guys like to score. Cause again, they're so defensive minded. So like, I get it to an extent, like I understand to an extent. I just, those are like the things that I'm curious and like, you know, you have some people that rise in the playoffs and you have some people that shrink in the playoffs every year. Like this for like Nuggets, we can move on to them. Like, I think this is a big year for Michael Porter Jr. in the playoffs because he's always done well against the Lakers in the playoffs. But, you know, in the big game, like in game 7, you know, for us to win, you know, he like had not even 10 points or something. It was just like abysmal.
He's got to be a scorer for us. He has to.
Well, you just have to make the shot. Yeah. So
that's what I'm saying. He's got to be a scorer. Like he's got to do it.
With the Nuggets, I think the things that can go right are obviously you have Nikola Jokic. Need I say more? This is why I'm never going to count them out of the finals as long as we have Nikola Jokic. And I think that the league and OKC should be very scared that Jamal just scored 55 points before the All-Star break and and has been scoring, averaging 30 again in like the past week, again, against not the best teams. But the Blazers had like the like top ranked defense, you know, and when we went
that
in to play them back to back.
Yep.
And so Jamal playing like this isn't even Jamal playing like last year because he didn't. You know, he wasn't Jamal in the playoffs. This isn't even like Jamal had his like best regular season last year. And I think this, like, if you ignore the first part, this could end up being one of his best regular seasons. Like he looks so healthy that I would be scared because he looks like he did when we won the championship. And he looks like he did when he was in the bubble. Like he looks,
he's
so,
got revenge eyes right now. He's been seeing from this guy.
He's doing celebrations. Like, he's not even that guy. So I'm like, when Nikola Jokic and Jamal are playing at that level, it almost doesn't even matter. Like, if everyone else is stepping up to the plate, as long as everyone's just kind of, like, helping the spacing out.
Because that's
how we won the finals was the two-man game. Like, they call it peanut butter and jelly, okay? Like, those two are, you can't game plan against Nikola Jokic, and you can't game plan against playoff Murray. Like, I'm so sorry you cannot. And the only thing that I think can go wrong is what you have is if Jamal isn't continuing how he's been playing, but I'm almost not worried about him right now. I think the biggest thing is defense. You know, it's
that's what I was gonna say.
We've noticed how much they step up though when it matters. So is it annoying that it seems like they just don't care during games and like are lazy? Yes. But that's like my biggest fear is if they can turn it on like they did when we won the championship. And that's like the only thing that I have them like my biggest worry, I would say.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the same way. I think that like my biggest fear for the Nuggets is one. I mean, obviously, AG had a wonderful game yesterday. I am so happy to I was so happy to see him.
He looked healthy. Yes. He looked good.
He looked so good. Yes. And so my biggest thing is like he's a big question mark because I want him to be consistent with that. He started the season like that. He started the season with one of his best offensive seasons that we've seen from him. And so, and then obviously he comes back from injury and he just didn't look healthy. He didn't look all in it. And
he wasn't playing his game.
No, that's what I was going to say is he was not playing like Aaron Gordon. And so, if he can keep up the game that we saw him play yesterday and just that we saw him play at the beginning of the season, I think that offensively the Nuggets are totally fine. Defense is what I worry about. If we play any team that can shoot around the perimeter, like lights out, or just like if they have a great game shooting around the perimeter and we can't stop them anyway, I worry about that. Just our general perimeter defense really is bad. And even our transition point of attack, defense is pretty bad.
The point of attack defense is not great, but what I will say the Nuggets are really good at is like disrupting, you know, and I would say like they're really good at getting them to turn the ball over, you know, as I mean, totally. And we're not great at keeping the ball when teams do it to us, but you know, Jokic is like top five in deflections. I think like we have a lot of pieces and I think Peyton Watson, if, you know, hopefully he's back and healthy by the time playoffs roll around, I'm sure he will be, can be a big factor in that, you know? And there were some, you know, Zeke Nnaji actually was like, the stats don't tell the story, but he was great defensively. He disrupted a lot of shots. You know, he was almost the only one that could guard the perimeter yesterday. I mean, he's still not some like insane point of attack defender, but I would say like what the Nuggets do well is kind of getting their hands in there and getting them to turn the ball over. Because we're, I think, either number one or one of the top transition teams, like, because of Christian Brown. So I'm like, if we can do that, like, we can run up the score and we don't have to be as, you know, concerned. But
Christian Brown's so good in transition. You said he's that and I was so just good. Like, ugh, I just love watching him. I have no idea how he does but I love it.
But of course, I'm like,
I'm with you.
I'm here with, like, all my string and my conspiracy. And I'm like, it's not even that though. Like if it's just Jamal and Jokic playing like they have been, I'm not worried about going to the finals and winning it all again. I'm so sorry. I want Russ to get a ring so dang bad. He deserves it after all he's been through. And I would love for him to get a ring. And
me too.
I think it's, you know, Jamal's kind of turned it on. It's almost like he was sick of people talking shit, which peaking at the right time, and he looks happy again playing basketball. Like, that's what I mean. Like, he's not like a big celebration guy. He has been so into the crowd last night. He looked like he was having a blast, and it's like finding that joy again. And I think with when you're playing with joy and the basketball looks, you know, as big as this, like, you know, like every time you shoot the ball, like no one is stopping the Denver Nuggets. So sorry.
That's what I was saying is I swear he's got like revenge eyes. Like it's like, it's like a happy sparkle, but like I'm about to whoop your ass, by the way.
Literally.
But to work
You know, and he brings a lot of that like onto himself sometimes, I think, like starting seasons like terribly. And, you know, like, I guess we just have to deal with that. I don't know. I would prefer, he deserves an all-star. Like he plays like it for a quarter of the season. I'm like, well, can we do this like all the time? Like you earn it, but like you should be at an all-star game. Like that's insane that he hasn't been to one, you know? And it was even amazing watching the Court of Gold documentary. I was telling Caitlin, I was like, this man just won a championship, not last year, but the year before. And they only cared about like Shea and Kelly Olynyk. To be fair, he didn't have a good run in the Olympics, but still like,
I was terrified of him like, in the Olympics.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like they did not care about showing him at all. And I was like, they really underestimate Jamal Murray. And I think a lot of people do. And everyone said he was washed at the beginning of the year. And I'm like, silly, silly people. Even though Caitlin and I were concerned also.
I was terrified.
But we also weren't surprised now. Like everyone else is like, why is Jamal doing that? Like, this is what he does. Like, it's just something we have to live with. So I'm really excited, but also very sad that like we're nearing the end of the season, but like this is when shit gets real. Okay. And then, you know, the Nuggets have won 9 in a row and everyone's like against sub 500 teams. If we would have lost, you would have been saying that we're cooked and you belong out of the play-in.
Yeah.
So exactly. Congrats. We won the games that we were supposed to win. Winning 9 games in a row is hard anyway, you know, and you can't say this when the Lakers just lost to the Hornets and the Jazz and you're, you know, talking shit. So shut up. and yeah, the Grizzlies just got cooked by the Pacers. Okay. Like we're doing well. We're on a roll. We were out a lot of our players during that stint. So I would say when you don't have Aaron Gordon for 90% of it, or it was like Aaron Gordon out, MPJ out, Russ was out the whole time. Then Peyton Watson was out. When you're missing like 3 to 4 guys, I would say beating all those teams 9 in a row, pretty damn good. Thank you. Almost MVP. Like, thank you, Nikola Jokic. But yes, so I am really nervous for tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Nuggets play the Lakers for the elusive 10-game win streak that they have never won in the Jokic or Malone era. We've had a lot of like, you know, they've won 10 of the last 12 or things, but never a 10 games in a row. I don't want to act overconfident, even though, yes, we have an amazing record. What, it's 13-1 against the Lakers in the last 14. It's pretty damn good. I don't want to be overconfident. So I'm like trying to keep my, I'm like trying to like calm down, not freak out.
I keep worrying that this is going to be the game that Luka breaks out, that Luka starts like getting back to Luka.
The only reason I say no is because I feel like he's going to save it for the Mavs game on Monday. You know,
that's so true. Yeah.
He could do it against us or drop, he could literally
five against,
he could literally be like, surprise, rip off a fat suit and like, and literally score 50, 15 and 15.
Not the fat suit.
He's like, ah,
he just like lifts up his shirt and it's just like painted on abs.
Yeah. What, no, bitch? Cause to be fair, he did their loss to the Hornets. He did not look great. He looked really out of shape and he was like he was a mark. Like, every offensive player just immediately found him. So it wasn't, the agenda was not looking good. Again, I give players coming back from injury about, you know, 15 games. So, you know, we know what Luka can do. But thanks for being here, guys. I didn't know we were gonna talk that long. We love you.
You please. Didn't? All I do is talk.
Please subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, I don't understand why, because like all you have to do is click a rectangular button or tap it, whatever you're watching us on. It's so simple. It's so My mom said the other day, she goes, well, why aren't more people subscribing? Like it's easy. I was like, beats me, mom. Beats
That's
me.
That's what I said.
My mom Just said kidding. You should follow us.
And her mom's My always mom's, right.
My mom said to subscribe and my mom said to like the video and my mom said to turn post notifications on. And my mom's awesome. So do you want to make my mom mad?
We love
Who wants
Spencer's
to upset
mom.
A mom?
I'm
We love Kim.
I'm a mom and I don't like being upset. Personally, me, no.
So don't make this mom or my mom mad. Okay? Are so excited that we're in the post All-Star break. Next week, we'll be able to like talk about who looks really good coming out of the All-Star break and, you know, who maybe is kind of still, because it like the Rockets were like on a like kind of a decline. So we'll have to see how they come out against adversity and all that nonsense.
Against adversity.
All that shit.
That was me being dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, comment, subscribe, love us, find us on our other socials.
Yeah.
So that we
if
can
you're
talk
OKC
about all
fans,
of the games over the weekend.
Unless you have something nice to say, I literally don't want to hear from you. I'm so sorry. I've had literally. Enough. I'm about to ban you guys from watching the show unless you have something nice to say.
No, literally. That's what I was trying to say earlier is when I was talking about that
I'm
weekly
blocking
thing.
Them.
Is that literally I had like 500 OKC fans calling me like a stupid bitch. because I was saying that I thought it was crazy that they didn't like switch that because I said ethical points. They were all calling me stupid. They were all calling me like a dumbass, a B word. They literally, I had like 500 of them talking about how dumb I am and all this stuff. So if you're not going to be kind, like one thing you don't understand about me is that I've been in therapy for like 15 years. Okay. Like I only have normal conversations. I don't argue with people and I don't play into you being mean to me. So if you want to have a respectful, intelligent conversation, I would love to.
Yes. And we have a lot of people that do that with us.
Period. But and we appreciate you.
OKC and Laker fans are a different breed and it's not a good one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's think about that. Self-reflection is good. Okay. Take some time this week. Look in the mirror.
Kindness matters.
Say, what am I gaining from bullying,
two random girls on the internet?
Two women in their 20s about basketball. What are you gaining? Is it making you happy? Is that fulfilling you? Is that filling your cup up with joy? I don't think so. Okay, anyway. Have a nice weekend. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Adios.